Good day. My name is Henry Autry, and I'm a circuit judge here in the city of St. Louis. First off, I'd like to take this opportunity to express my sincere and deepest congratulations to the most recent graduates of the Transcendental Meditation Sentencing Project, which has been operated and run by Mr. Farouk Anguissaria. I'm sure that those students, through their experience in the sentencing project, understand and appreciate the great, great use of transcendental meditation and its effect upon them in changing their lives and turning their lives around. I would commend them on their experiences and commend them on their future, and I'm sure that their experience in the transcendental meditation sentencing project and the daily practice of transcendental meditation will aid them greatly in changing their lives in a positive way, offering them a new direction, and taking them away from those negative aspects of their lives that cause them to have to go into the transcendental sentencing project to begin with. The project is a tremendous asset and boon to the criminal justice system in St. Louis, although it is new here on the frontiers of the criminal justice system here. Its recent usage and its recent experiences indicates that it does have a tremendous impact and has a significant place as a tool for judges here in St. Louis, as well as in other jurisdictions in the state of Missouri and across this nation, to benefit those persons who get caught up in the criminal justice system, typically by their own devise, because that's how people get caught up in the system. They do something that is a violation of the law. I see transcendental meditation as a tool that all judges can utilize to effectively perform their task. The role of a judge is sometimes confusing to the public, sometimes even misunderstood by those of us who sit on the bench and perform that function on a daily basis, because there are so many aspects and so many factors that we have to consider in the performance of our duties. And this, I think, is especially true in the area of criminal justice. Typically, when someone comes into our courtroom, my courtroom, and either pleads guilty or is found guilty by a jury of a criminal offense, there are two options. Essentially, one is probation, the other is incarceration. On the issue of probation, there are certain conditions that a judge can place with the individual who is granted probation. And, of course, a violation of those conditions requires and is indicative of the fact that the person is not ultimately a good candidate for probation, and their probation is typically revoked, and then they begin their sentence. Heretofore, the options that judges have in relation to probation have been limited. They're pretty typical. There are things like community service. There are things like drug treatment and counseling. There are things like employment counseling and things of that ilk. The unfortunate aspect regarding those particular possibilities that one can do or be involved in during probation is that all too frequently they're observed as short-term, and in practice they seem to be short-term for many individuals, which is one of the reasons why we have recidivists. Typically, I think that it's pretty easy to be on probation and do certain things that you're required to do for a period of time, whether it's 2 years or 3 years or 4 years. The recidivist rate over that period of time is, I guess statistically speaking, low when you consider the individuals that are coming through the system. On the other hand, the recidivist rate from those individuals is quite high because many times the conditions that are granted to them are Band-Aid type conditions. If you get a fairly serious cut anywhere on your body, you can bandage it, you can wrap it to inhibit the bleeding. There are are times, however, when you get a serious cut that requires much more than bandaging or a Band-Aid. It requires some sutures, and it many times may require some antibiotics to actually heal it and to obviate the risk to the person that's been injured. Probation many times is typically the former. It's a Band-Aid. Transcendental meditation, however, is more like sutures and antibiotics. It completely heals and resolves the problem, which is the source of the actual injury. I've had the great experience and gift of learning transcendental meditation recently myself. It is an aspect of my life that I've thought about for many years, never utilized or took the opportunity to learn the practice and to engage in the practice until recently. And since I have, the question that I've been asking myself is, why did I wait so long? It is truly a great experience. It is a tremendous practice. It brings a tremendous amount of inner peace and calmness to one's total being, not only the mental and the spiritual, but also the physical. Those things that we typically experience in life that causes great stress and consternation are obviated through the practice of transcendental meditation, which allows one to achieve a greater sense of calmness and peace from within. It's an aspect wherein the mind goes much deeper and aids in resolving the conflicts that we have from external experiences. That many times, and I would venture to say all the time, this conflict with external experiences, that conflict between those experiences and the conflict within ourselves, causes most people to come within and become involved in the criminal justice system as defendants. It is my opinion, based upon my own personal experience with transcendental meditation, and based upon the research that I've seen and read and studied, that transcendental meditation is at least one of, if not the greatest tool, that can be utilized by all judges in their sentencing practices, because it is a benefit of great significance to those individuals that come before them. It is inconceivable to me how an individual whose duty it is to take the forefront and take the lead in maintaining the security, safety, and obviation of chaos within society, a person like a judge, cannot see the benefits of such a practice, cannot see clearly the benefits of utilizing transcendental meditation as a condition of his or her probation for those persons who come before them and receive probation. It is clear to me that it does resolve many of the, if not all, of the internal conflicts that individuals have that allow them to get caught up in the system. Individuals, one in particular that I came in contact with through my own transcendental meditation learning experience, is a totally different individual today than he was a year ago or so when he first became involved in the process. He is motivated. He has a greater sense of self. He has a greater sense of direction. His mind is clear. His thinking is clear. And those are the aspects that allow individuals to not get involved in the criminal justice system all too frequently. When we as judges or citizens view people that get involved in the criminal justice system, we believe and think, and perhaps it's human nature to do so, that if they're like us, then they wouldn't be involved in the system. That denies the fact that all individuals are individuals, quite simply. Everybody has their own character, their own personality. What might work for one person doesn't necessarily work for another. However, that the one exception to that is transcendental meditation. It is a universal, uniform experience and practice that everyone can use for their benefit, that everyone can use to bring about positive change and direction in their life and their experiences, regardless of their socioeconomic status, regardless of their gender, regardless of their race or ethnic background, regardless of their religion. And on that point, I want to say this too. There's some great confusion and ignorance in point of fact that transcendental meditation, the practice of transcendental meditation, is of some religious significance. Let me assure you, and I'm sure that the students that I am speaking to initially here and anyone else who has experienced it and engages in the practice fully knows and realizes that it is not a religious practice. It is not like being a member of a church, whether it's Catholicism or Judaism or a Baptist or a Methodist. It is a practice that equalizes and balances the mind, the body, and the spirit. Its focus is not religion. Its focus is uniformity and balance within one's being. So, having said that, I would urge everyone who has the opportunity to learn the practice, to engage in the practice, but more importantly, I would urge judges who are in our system, whose duty it is to maintain order and to see to it that rules of society are kept and maintained, to consider and in fact use transcendental meditation as one of your tools within your arsenal to deal with those individuals that come before you charged with crimes and ultimately plead guilty before you or are convicted by a jury. Having said that, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank Mr. Anquasaria for giving me this opportunity and also for giving me the gift of transcendental meditation. I would reiterate that it has done a tremendous thing for me in helping to resolve the stresses and angst that I undergo on a daily basis as a judge. And if it can do that for me, quite simply, it can do it for anybody. Good luck. And best wishes to you. Thank you.